everyone, and welcome to the Film for Fans podcast, the podcast from movie fans for movie fans. I'm your host, Ryan Dunleavy. That's my co-host, Rob Dunham.
Are we all excited for the Oscars?
Oh, are we ever?
Not.
And by that, we mean no, we're not. No, we're not. But it is coming up. It's this weekend.
And the people, Ryan, people are foaming at the mouth.
For sure.
At least one of the people who listens to the podcast has actually specifically.
Yeah.
I can only assume it echoes the outcry of thousands.
Yes.
Who are watching, listening to us on a weekly basis.
Like, how have we not handicapped this already? Yeah. How are you making us wait until the week of?
I mean, now the Kelce aficionados are disappointed and are not telling them what to put their money down
on. Yeah. But, you know, on a side note, okay, like, I just, like, the amount of things you can bet on now is absolutely insane. Like, if you followed the Major League Baseball scandal with a couple of guys getting suspended for literally, like, changing pitches based on betting patterns, like, you should not be able to bet on the result of individual pitches.
Yeah.
Like, that should not be a thing.
And probably you shouldn't be able to bet on things like military movements, especially if you're actually the insider position of them, because you're the one who was everything.
And I just heard on, I was just watching like a hockey game and they were complaining about stats, and the NHL is literally being like super careful about what counts as a shot on goal because people can bet on shots on goal. And I'm like, guys, no, like this is ridiculous. Like, the goalie catches one and they're over there figuring out, well, would that have gone in or would that? I'm just like, this. So,
side note, betting on shots on goal is degenerate behavior.
Yes.
It's really stupid, because if you know anything about hockey, your team can be playing really well and have 5 shots on goal in period.
Yeah.
And they can be playing terrible and have 15. Like, yeah. It's
just like, like, yeah, all the minutiae is definitely degenerate gambling behavior. So we do not encourage people to use our podcast on the Oscars to inform betting patterns.
I would say the only sure bet you have is that this is a quality program.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, since we are right before the Oscars, we're going to dedicate the majority of our time today to our Oscar breakdown and our Oscar predictions. Now, on the front end, some of this will be our thoughts in general on where we're at. Some of our analysis here will be based on personal opinion on movies that we've seen. Also, we'll mix in some of our impressions about where the wind is blowing, so to speak, as for the Oscar, who's going to win said Oscars. And so we'll try to give you kind of a balance of both on those worlds. We'll also admit that there are a number of movies that each of us have not seen in these categories yet. So that's where we're at.
Indeed.
All right. Where do you want to start? What category should we start with? Or should we start with our general take on the overall?
I just wanted to share a brief thought
about
it, generally in nominations.
Yes.
I'm finding it, we talked about this briefly before recording, I'm finding it more and more difficult to convince myself to spend 2 to 3 hours investing in a movie when I'm not sure it's going to be great. The fact that it's nominated for an Oscar does not mean it's going to be great.
No, it certainly does not.
This even applies to movies where I have experience with and trust, like the director or certain actors.
Yeah.
Even then, I'm like, my ability to watch something like that at home is a lot more limited even than my ability to go to the theater.
Yeah.
Because if I want to watch something like that at home, it probably has to be after my kids are in bed.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not starting a movie. Realistically, I'm not starting a movie like that until 9:30 or 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I just watched one of the nominees over the last 2 days. I couldn't make it through the movie because it was 12:30 and I just quit the movie. I was exhausted.
I hear you.
I did pick it up and finish it. I'm glad I did, but there have been more than one time that I've started a movie and watched like 45 minutes to an hour of it, fully intending to finish it the next day, and it didn't happen.
Yeah,
Apparently, yes.
it
And
is.
I don't think it's just that. I think that's the reality of content a lot of people that you consume.
Well, and I also think, like, over the years, one of the things you and I have talked about is that there's just so much of a greater disconnect between what Hollywood produces and what fans actually want. You know, what moviegoers actually want to see, movies we're actually excited about going to. In the post Marvel world, Hollywood doesn't seem to have any clue what to produce to get people to go see it. And what they've been producing has been of such low quality for such a number of years now that when it's more difficult to consume, like it is for us right now with the stage of life we're in and the schedule demands that we have, it becomes harder and harder for us to be like, yeah, let me plow into all this stuff. Yeah. It used to be on weekends we could easily watch the three, four movies. That's just not the case anymore. Yeah. And especially when, like, because my children are smaller than yours. I only have one child, but four.
Sometimes it feels to him like he has one.
It does sometimes. But my daughter is younger than you, so I really can't watch like any. She's four. I really can't watch anything while she's still awake. Because she's old enough that like she could actually see stuff and it bothered her, old enough that she understands enough to be disturbed by something. So I really can't watch almost anything.
With my kids, like they're in store, the living room,
Yeah.
or theater, or they're watching it themselves
Yeah.
on the TV. So I don't really have access to the TV until later.
So all of this to say that the process of watching these movies and the desire to watch them has waned over the years. And that makes it more difficult. And I would guess that the vast majority of moviegoers have seen one, maybe two of these movies that are being nominated. A few others will pick up a few more in the next couple of weeks as the awards were both nominated and now we'll have the winners, so people will tune in and watch some of those as a result of that. But again, like nobody is seeing a lot of these movies if it wasn't nominated. And so we're at a it's a tough crossroads for where things are at right now on some of this stuff. So that's kind of the landscape for this. And I almost on a yearly basis will do my rant about the Academy's inability to nominate anything good. But in this case, like there were just so few like good movies this year that I don't even like, I'm not even that mad at what the Academy
I mean,
nominated.
there are some good ones they nominated, but they're probably not ones that.
Yeah. Now, I do think there's one kind of exception to this one, kind of like last year. Was it last year? It was Oppenheimer, right? So Oppenheimer was both really good movie and highly nominated and highly won a bunch of things. So I think there is one movie in here that has a chance to do some of those as well. We'll see. All right, you have anything else before we get started in the
I know.
categories? All right. Do you want to start with the actors or the movies?
We can start with the actors.
All right. Actor in a leading role. So your best actor nominee, we have five nominees. We have Timothy Chalamet for Marty Supreme, the ping pong movie. We have Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another. We have Ethan Hawke in Blue Moon. We have Michael B. Jordan playing multiple roles in Sinners. And we have Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. All right. What do you make of any of the ones you have seen? And what is the what is the feeling you are sensing from as you look through press and hear other people talk and all those sick things? Where are you at with this?
I've only seen centers out of the five.
Okay.
I said at the time, and I say again, I think that it's probably the best version of a person playing to people that I've seen them. Now that's not just the acting, but it's also down to that.
Yeah.
So they did a really good job of making that feel pretty smooth, like real.
Yeah.
But I do think, even given that, Michael B. Jordan did a pretty good job of maintaining two separate but pretty similar personalities, because they're twin brothers, so they've got to be somewhat similar, because that's what twins are.
Yeah.
But he did make them different enough. I like that they, if you watch the movie, they have different color hats. So like there's a couple of things that differentiate them, especially at the end of the movie. But one of the brothers gets into trouble with the other brother, I thought that was well done. I would guess Leonardo DiCaprio's a villain. Just because there's a lot of momentum behind this movie, which I'm disappointed that I haven't had a chance to watch yet. I had hoped to get it watched. It is actually streaming on HBO Max.
Which one? One battle after another?
Yeah. So if you have that and have the opportunity, that's where you'd want to watch that. Sinners is streaming on that.
I think that's also HBO Max.
It is also HBO
Max. Yes, Sinners is also HBO Max.
Yeah.
Well, those the two of the biggest nominees who had some of the most nominees were One Battle After Another and Sinners. Both of them are Warner Brothers features on that front. It's interesting because I could see this going to either DiCaprio or Michael B. Jordan, depending on which of those two films, Sinners or One Battle After Another, rides a wave of momentum. Because I feel like that happens sometimes, where a film starts riding a wave of momentum with the wins, because both of them have been nominated in a number of different categories. If we see one of them start sweeping, I can see the movie that is winning the majority of these to also carry Best Actor. That being said, I've also seen it happen where if, for instance, the nominating committee knows that, let's say, they're locking out One Battle After Another, they're not going to give it a bunch of wins, then I can see them throwing a sop to that movie and giving it to DiCaprio.
Yeah.
As a result, I think it's more likely that One Battle After Another gets some of the big movie awards and they give Michael B. Jordan the nominee for Sinners.
I would be surprised.
I would too. Yeah. Variety magazine has it believes that Michael B. Jordan will win, that Ethan Hawke could win, but that Wagner Moura should win. They also threw out a category, should have been nominated, and this is up your alley, we're talking off camera, Oscar Isaac for Frankenstein, they feel like should have been nominated. So that's what we got for Best Actor. All right. Let's go to leading actress. We have the nominees are Jesse Buckley from Hamnet, Rose Byrne, If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson in Song Sung Blue, Renate Riensvay for Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone for Begonia. What do you think?
Again, I've seen one of these movies. I saw Begonia. Emma Stone is phenomenal. But I don't think it's the kind of performance that wins an award. If I had to, and I haven't seen these movies, but if I had to guess, like the three most nominated movies right now are One Man After Another, Sinners, and Great. I think Jesse Buckley will win.
Yeah.
It's because the Academy tends to be a sucker for period roles that are done really well. And from everything I've heard, I do want to see this because Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to see it. From everything I've heard, she's really good. Which is really good because she was not good bride.
Spoiler alert, Rob was disappointed in that movie.
Everyone was disappointed. Everyone disliked that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. This is, you get some of the weirder nominations coming out for Best Actress because you tend to get a bunch of movies that literally nobody has seen and performances nobody has seen on this. I think the Academy is not going to give another Emma Stone another Best Actress role for another Yorgos Lanthimos film. Like, I feel like they can't keep doing that. So I don't think that's gonna carry over for her. I do think it's going to be Jesse Buckley. I think Hamnet is going to win a few awards, and this is going to be one of them for sure.
We'll say with Emma Stone, I think she did, but I just don't think it's, I don't think it's an award with.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not entirely your fault, but I just think it's. But they have done it before, so.
They have. Variety magazine calls Jesse Buckley is going to win it. Could win it. Their category that could win it is Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue. They also feel like Jesse Buckley should win it. So I
Usually,
think, yeah.
when publications are absolutely in the will win. Should win.
That's usually a strong indicator
They'll probably win.
that this person is probably going to win it.
Yeah.
So I think we can handicap this one for Jesse Buckley. All right, let's go back to supporting. Let's go to supporting actors before we get all right, supporting actor. We have five nominees for supporting actor. Benicio del Toro for One Battle After Another. Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein. We have Delroy Lindo for Sinners. Sean Penn in One Battle After Another. And Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value. So we have two actors from the same movie up for this role in One Battle After Another with Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro. That's fascinating. That's always interesting. So what do you think? Is this one where the two One Battle After Another ones cancel each other out a little bit and it leaves room for someone like Delroy Lindo from Sinners, or are you going off script with this one?
I mean, I think they do cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you can say one is better than the other when they're, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal achievement for the movie that two people were nominated for the same over. Wait, to have the three main guys all nominated for acting awards. Like, I really feel like I need to see this movie.
It is the next one up on my
yeah.
list, and I will get to it this weekend.
Man, I this is some, this is one where I feel like they could throw a curveball and some stars are because Jacob Elordi's performance in Frankenstein is really, really good, but he's still the monster. So there's that. In the second half of the movie, there's a lot for him to do. In the first half, there's virtually nothing for him to do because now you could argue that's to his benefit to show his acting chops with what he had to do. But a lot of the gravitas, a lot of the emotional weight of the character in that movie is tied into the makeup and stuff, not necessarily to performance. So for me, like, I really loved him as the monster, but I wouldn't look for him in this. I haven't seen Sentimental Value yet, but I've heard good things about that too. And it is a foreign language slash English, maybe in Canada, like those two. And I feel like Stellan Skarsgård is just kind of a person that, like, they might be like, this guy finally deserves to be recognized. So I could see him win. I think most people would consider it a surprise, but I could see how.
It's interesting because you have three actors who are renowned for their acting prowess, who all have high respect, who you could see winning on name recognition. Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, Stellan Skarsgård are all in there. But possibly the favorite, maybe Delroy Lindo for Sinners. And that would be someone who doesn't have the name recognition, doesn't have the pedigree on there. So it would be fascinating if he would turn around and win that one ahead of actors who have much more acclaim than he does.
I'm just disappointed that one might be Charles lead actor supporting that. They like, kind of fought over which one was which.
Yeah. So how Variety handicaps this one, they think Delroy Lindo will win for Sinners. Sean Penn could win, but Benicio del Toro should win. They also feel like Miles Canton from Sinners got left out. So that would have been fascinating had you had two actors from two movies, different movies, up against each other for the role. That would have been fascinating as well. All right, supporting actress. Again, here we've got a double nomination. First up, it's Elle Fanning for Sentimental Value, Inga Ibs' daughter, Lilianis. I just butchered that name. Inga Ibs' daughter, Lilias. Yeah, that's terrible pronunciation. Also for Sentimental Value. Amy Madigan for Weapons. Wonmi Mosaku for Sinners. And Teyana Taylor for One Battle After Another. What do you think?
I don't know enough about the other ones. So.
Did you see Weapons?
I did.
Okay.
And she's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a school teacher whose like kids are disappearing. She has to try and unravel the mystery of what's happening to all of them. That's a really interesting movie because almost everyone in it would have to be classified as a supporting actor because it's like multiple intersecting storylines. So there's not really a lead.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they got a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
I think out of everyone in the movie, I nominated her. That's like the best performance.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's something that wins an award.
I will say from a Sinner standpoint, Wonmi Mosaka definitely had a standout performance in that movie. In a film with lots of different actors, and lots of different, it's highly emotional film in terms of people freaking out and doing all this stuff. She was a standout performance. Like, you noticed her, you saw her every scene she was in. She made an impact. So I think the nomination there certainly is well deserved. Is there too many actors in that film though? If you have two guys nominated for best supporting actor, you've got the main actor nominated. Is it a case of where there's the cast around her was so strong that even though her performance was good, that it doesn't stand out as much? I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, the supporting ones always can tend to be a little unexpected.
Yeah, especially because some films have a very clear, here's the lead and here's the supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a very clear delineation and the roles are very defined within a specific film. So you can, I'm just off the top of my head, Aaron Eckhart in The Dark Knight, you know, clear supporting actor behind the two leads. It was great as Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where because the roles are separated out enough, you can clearly define that. Some of these films, it's a little harder. Variety pegs it as will win for Amy Madigan for Weapons, could win Wonmi Mosaku, and should win Wonmi Mosaku.
Hmm.
So that's their call on this one. All right. So let's hit up director before we get on with it. So we have five directors nominated. We have Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Ryan Coogler for Sinners, Josh Safdie for Marty Supreme, Joaquin Trier for Sentimental Value, and Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. What do you got on this one? Because this one is really interesting. I think this is one of the most intriguing categories for my money on this one.
Yeah, I think I thought after I watched Sinners when it first came out, and it came out early in the year, that I said this movie is some major things. And I felt strongly about that after seeing it the first time, just because of the kind of movie it is. I know the Academy approaches things, how people are gonna react to it, what it represents culturally. Like, there's a whole lot there, and I think that I almost think they're not going to be able to resist it. It's Ron Cooler, but that doesn't mean he doesn't. I just think, based on what I see and what I know about how they tend to handle things, I would not be surprised.
I think it should go to Ryan Coogler. I definitely think it should go to Ryan Coogler. This is another one of to see which of these two films, One Battle After Another or Sinners, if one or the other dominates the box office, dominates the awards, because they're all nominated in a bunch of different categories. And I think it's set up for Sinners to do the big run and for One Battle After Another to get left out quite a bit. And I think you're going to see that when it comes to director. I think if Ryan Coogler wins this, I think you're going to see Sinners really take a lot of awards. Probably in the somewhere in the nature of 7 or 8 awards, I'm guessing. And I think they're going to snatch a lot of those off the back of One Battle After Another.
It's when what's really cool, phenomenal. And it's got to be incredible for them just to see the Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan collaboration, because they've been working together on movies since 2010s. 2013, Fruit Vale Station. That was Michael B. Jordan's first like big role.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty.
And they worked together, Black Panther.
I mean, Coogler directed that, right? Yeah. Coogler directed Creed. He directed the Black Panther movies. Mm-hmm. And now we've got Sinners.
Yeah.
It just seems like they bring the best out in each other.
Yeah. And I am not a particular Michael B. Jordan fan. I actually think Ryan Coogler is a good director. I'm not a particularly Michael B. Jordan fan, but I think probably the achievement of Sinners is probably going to carry the day on this one.
Now, the question is, does that carry up? Does it sweep?
That's the question.
Director and Best Picture.
Yeah. Because it's not uncommon that they split.
Mm-hmm.
It is not uncommon that they would split. Variety has it pegged at will win Ryan Coogler for Sinners, could win Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, should win Chloe Zhao. So they feel like Hamnet should take this one. I think there's an outside chance that Hamnet would win this one, but I don't think so.
I could see that, but that would be them getting really cute.
This would be like the year if, you know, actually, it's just kind of ironic. It'd be like the year that Shakespeare in Love won, and everyone's like, really? Ironically, that's a Shakespeare thing.
They are often split, but to be fair, out of the 97 movies that have won Best Picture, 70 have also won Best Director.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good odds.
Mm-hmm. Most notable discrepancy there, famously Gladiator in 2000, mm-hmm. which, he's still a little bit bitter about about not winning that one for the record, because it won Best Actor, it won Best Picture, and he did not get Best Director for that one. He's still ticked about that. All right, now we'll move on to Best Picture. And Best Picture, we have 10 nominations. This was something they started doing a few years ago.
I do kind of like the 10 nominations because it gives us the ability to recognize some movies that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I also kind of feel like it's kind of throwing a bone.
Yeah.
The movies that are popular. So I both like it and don't like it.
I think I'm more on the fan that I that I think it's being done for cynical reasons, because they're like, oh, we understand you rubes like all these movies and get upset with us, and we look bad for not allowing, you know, whatever super popular movie that all you wanted to see and gets left out because we want to pick our niche movies over here. I think it's more a sop to that than it is anything else. But these films do then get to say that we were nominated for Best Picture, and there is some value for them on that. So I guess there is some positive to some of these. And there's one that I'll highlight on here that I believe for that, that I believe helps for that as well. All right. So your nominations are Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams.
So how many of these did you say?
Two.
I saw four.
Okay. I will get to probably one or two more of them this weekend, and I will. There's a few other ones that I do want to get to. So probably the next week I'll be up to four or five, but yeah. Out of this, I can tell you ones that I actually wanted to see, but due to other reasons could not, is one, two, two, three, maybe, two and a half. So that's kind of where we're at. Like, as I look at these films, I'm like,
I saw four of them. I wanted to see One Battle After Another and Hamnet too.
Mm-hmm.
And I only saw Frankenstein the last 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Out of the ones that were nominated for you, give me the ones, let's say the ones that were nominated and the ones you've seen, like give me your top three based on the ones that were nominated here.
So Sinners at the top.
Yeah.
We did go through our top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
The man had been thrown asunder after watching Frankenstein. It wasn't quite good enough to display Sinners for me, but that would be my number two.
You did.
Out of the ones that I saw, and F1 would be my number three, because that was my number two movie.
Yeah.
Before I rearranged my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And F1 to me is like the. That's the. For like the people's reading.
Yeah.
The one that was commercially popular.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was a very
yeah.
And I'm glad to see that it got recognized, because it's a lot better than probably 95% of the sports movies I've seen.
Yeah.
So it absolutely deserved to be nominated for Best Picture.
For sure.
And it's probably, I haven't looked through all the categories. I'm guessing probably not for some technical issue. And I hope that it wins something.
Yeah.
It deserves to win something.
I would have liked to have seen I can understand why it didn't, but I'd like to see Joseph Kaczynski nominated in this one for director. Because I thought the directing of this was, and the way they produced this film is just really good.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that. F1 would be... F1 would be at or near the top of my list. I liked Sinners. I think I suffered because I had to watch in three sittings. I think that hurt my overall impression of it, because I couldn't just watch it straight through. And I liked it. And I thought it was very good. And it would certainly appear on my top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for me if I would consider it the best movie, better than F1 in my estimation. On this one, but F1 has no chance of winning this whatsoever. None.
I'd love to see they do a MVP voting.
Yeah,
like a breakdown.
Yeah,
1 to 10.
That would be fun.
Yeah, so I don't think F1 would finish last.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. They're never going to do it, because it's become very obvious how biased this stuff is if they ever did it that way. But they should. Variety breaks it down as will win as Sinners, could win One Battle After Another, should win The Secret Agent. So that's interesting.
The Secret Agent is one of the trees, too, because White Year War and the fact that it's on the for Best Picture.
Yeah.
That's on Hulu / Disney Plus. If you want to watch that one, I might check that one.
Yeah, that one did kind of have an intrigue. Yeah, that one did have kind of have a little bit of an intrigue there. But again, like if I'm watching something and I got like an hour and I'm tired, I'm going to watch a foreign language film. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
This is not happening. Like I can't pay that close attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. This is
a scene like with the fall a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Some other movies, like there are movies that are out of our realm, out of our radar that we pick up on because of award time. Sometimes they're really good.
Sometimes they are. There is true. There are some times where the kind of dustbin of movies that didn't get a lot of credit. And there are occasions where the Academy picks up on some of those and gives them their just due. But it's not as often as they'd like to think. It's not. So that's kind of where we're at with that. I think it's going to be one of those where Sinners is going to sweep the majority of the awards, and One Battle After Another is going to be looking up, only getting a few small awards. And there will be some people that won't be happy with that, but I think that's probably justified. That's my broader take on that.
And it could go the entire opposite
way. It absolutely could go the entire opposite way. All right. Well, that is. Do you have anything else? Any other categories or anything else you want to bring up?
I did look through it.
Okay. Super closely. Yep. Okay. I think that we'll leave it at that point. And that is our breakdown of the Oscars. And we'll be back next week and we'll do a segment where we talk about who won and any takes we have on that as well. And real quick, let's do a little watch list. Do a film or two of a watch list. Things that we've watched over the last week. Rob, what'd you watch this week?
I saw The Bride. I was one of the few people who actually saw The Bride. Bride had a $90 million budget and it made $6.7 million over the weekend. Oof. For those of you keeping score at home, that's bad.
Oof.
That's...
And it had a lot of buzz to it. And people were intrigued to go see this movie.
So people were intrigued until they went and saw it, apparently, because another metric. So at one point in the future podcast, I'm going to break this down so we can talk about this rating. But cinema score is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, cinema score is exit polling for movies. So if you go to vote in the election, they'll ask you how they got to be.
Yeah,
I'll keep tabs on what people say, and they do this for movies. And they ask people to rate a movie from A to F, and usually, if your cinema score is below A, like A, if it's not A or A plus, then you're probably in trouble. And The Bride had a cinema score of C plus.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough one.
Which tells you that a lot of people had it lower than that, but it's just an average.
Yeah.
I wanted badly to like this movie, but it just seemed like it was torn in so many different creative directions and couldn't quite figure out what it was trying to do. It felt like it was trying to do too many different things.
Yeah.
And it couldn't get out of its own way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that the actress could have done anything more than they had. Yeah. It's really a writing directing issue for me. It's probably unlikely that Maggie Gyllenhaal will have this kind of budget at her disposal again anytime soon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. It's just a very strange movie right from the beginning, because essentially it starts out with Mary Shelley's ghost on screen telling you that she needs to go and inhabit the body of this person to tell the story of the Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're in 1930 Chicago. And it It was just like, it was anachronistic in not a good way.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay.
It didn't seem like the story fit the setting. Like, I saw they were going for it, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
So, I'm really glad I saw Frankenstein on Netflix because that was so much better. That's the funniest time movie it probably was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, I'll say I saw How to Make a Killing. And
that's Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell and Margaret Qualley. Jessica Henwick. I liked it. I liked it. It was interesting. I think the point of it wasn't necessarily the most moral point in the world. Basic kind of plot is, well, if you just kind of turn your conscience off, you can get away with a lot. And it's probably gonna be okay. I'm like, yeah, well, no, not really. But it is kind of interesting. It's kind of a dark comedy. And so I found it entertaining and enjoyable. And that was cool. But watching Glenn Powell kind of decide to take revenge on his family and both watching the consequences of that and the things that go well and the things that don't go well from him around that was really interesting. But I thought it was good. I thought the performance from him and Margaret Qualley was excellent. Margaret Qualley is always noticeable in her roles. She always is. And she was right at home with this particular role, even though she doesn't have a ton of screen time. It has some interesting twists and turns to it, but I enjoyed it overall and thought it was quite entertaining. So that is the show, everyone. Thank you for checking out Film for Fans. And make sure you visit filmforfans.com, like, subscribe, tell your friends. Until next time, enjoy the movies.